So continuing our discussion of intellectual property, and specifically with regard to Torah. So we began several weeks ago with the Sholem Eshev, the discussion about whether there's such a thing as intellectual property. He says there is, without bringing any real makar. Other poskim disagree. And just wrapping up stuff from last week, we discussed various poskim about whether, do debates whether on Torah specifically, a person can own Torah. So there are various, like Avta Gemaras about with Taras of Yege, Torah Dilehu, the Gemara in Kedushin says the Talmud Chacham owns the Torah, that's why he can be Mochel and is covered. Taras of Yege, Matana Nachliel. We have some of the sources we were seeing tonight, last week. We have a interesting three-way machlokas about Torah. On the one hand, we have the Netziv. The Netziv was dealing with someone who didn't want his tshuvas to be published, because he held that tshuvas are not so reliable, chidushim, sakim, that's when you're holding in the sugya, as we say, that's authoritative Torah, tshuvas he felt were less so. The Netziv actually devotes the first part of his tshuva to rejecting that. He says, absolutely not, tshuvas are the most authoritative Torah. He gets the Yatzeh Dishmaya, and you work on the sugya, and you have the kind of gravity of responsibility, so tshuvas are the best Torah. But in any event, he says, does someone have the right to forbid publication of his own Torah? And his answer is no. He compares, he says on the one hand, it is your right. He does seem to think that based on these drushas, matana nachliel, it's a matana, it's a nachla, Torah does belong to the person who studies it and acquires it through his work and through toiling in Torah. So it is yours, and misvara, he says, that would give you the right to suppress it, as anything else that's yours you can destroy. He says, if it's my chair, I can destroy the chair. If it's my knowledge in general, I would have the right to demand that it not be published. He does seem to assume that there is such a thing as the right to your Torah. However, he says, the one thing you can't do is suppress it. Because he says, the Torah wants you to teach Torah, the Torah commands you to disseminate Torah, so you have the right to choose how it shall be published, how it shall be taught, to whom, in what manner, whatever you want. The one thing you can't do is destroy the Torah, is suppress it and not have it given over.
So if you can choose who it goes to, why can you not demand it's not published? Because otherwise then you're not controlling who it gets taught to.
Well, he was talking about someone who was dead and was asking that the Ksavim just be buried and not be totally lost forever.
So if you're alive, you can decide not to publish it?
He seems to think that. He seems to think even someone who's alive has no right.
And you can't control who gets...
You mean once it's published, it'll be available?
Once it's published.
Right. I think he just means you can say, let's say, who has the schus to do the publishing, who gets the profit from it, in what format it should be published.
You don't get to decide who gets to learn from it.
At the end of the day, it'll be right. I didn't mean to say that you have the right to decide you can't learn it, but I mean you can decide how it should be published, and you're right. Once it's out there, you're not going to have any further control of her. So, I don't know if you'd have the right to say, don't lecture in this shul or don't teach it to this and this. I don't know if he's going to say that or not, but in general, that's his position, that you have the right, you have some control at least over how it should be taught and published, but you don't have the right to suppress it entirely.
Sisrei Torah, I'm assuming, would be different, though.
Sorry?
Sisrei Torah may be different, though.
Yeah, I would assume so, right. I would assume that there's a need to. I mean, there's such a thing as halacha vein murder and kain halacha, too, that certain halachas we said you shouldn't say in public. So, yeah, I would assume there are exceptions. But in general, and he himself says that there were certain cases, there were certain rabbanim who, because of their anava, didn't think that their tshuvas were good enough, and they didn't want them published simply because he seems to concede that if a person thinks that his, that if a person thinks that, he says there were rabbanim who said that because they thought people would rely on their tshuvas and they didn't think that they were accurate enough, which is sort of what this Rav held, but this Rav he didn't grant that permission to, but he does seem to think that if a person thinks he hasn't worked through his tshuvas enough and they may not be correct, he might have the right to suppress them. But in general, a Talmud Chacham can't just say, I don't want my Torah to be published. But obviously, that's an important point. Most people who don't want them published because they have some doubt about the quality. When is that a good argument and when not is an important question. Meidach Gisa, we have the Shari Deya, who takes the opposite view. He says Torah is not yours. It's true you can be mochel on your cover, but it's not your Torah. He says there's no Yerusha, there's no Din Bechar Get Pishnayim, there's no Yerusha at all, he seems to say. Mani Bechinam, the Torah wants you to teach Torah. He seems to pretty much deny that it's an Eina Drardim Amona Klal. Doesn't seem to be Drardim Amona. He doesn't discuss whether the guy himself would have the right to control who publishes his farm or not. He's focusing primarily on Yerusha. But he says it's not an issue of Mamon Bechlal. It's just it's a cover that you get maybe, but his lashon is ain't a drar d'mamon klal. He seems to deny that an author of Torah has any particular right to his work. In between, is a tshuva which I didn't make copies of, is a tshuva of the Hazaris tshuva. He treats Torah sort of like Torah Shana, also like the Netziv, just like the Netziv makes an analogy to Truma. A person can decide who to give the Truma to, which coin, but he has to give it to some coin. He can't just bury it, he can't destroy it. He can't even make it Osir according to some poskim in such a way that no coin will be able to mean Nana from it. Because it's his, as long as it's his to do whatever he wants, anything which is consistent with the coin getting it, which is what the Torah wants. The Torah too, the Netziv says, it's yours as long as your desires don't conflict with the Torah's desire of getting the Torah out there. The Zarus Tshuva also compares it to Tavas Hana. However, he's not so sure that there's Yerusha. He was also discussing, like the Sharidea, a question of Yerusha, whether the kids are Yerush or not. And he's not sure. He says maybe not, because Tavas Hana itself, he brings a machlokas whether there's Yerusha and Tavas Hana. It's a Dover Shem Bamamish, and he brings a whole discussion, the Shach, Tzos, Nesivas. We're not going to get into the Shitas. But basically, it's not so simple to say that there's Yerusha at all on Tavas Hana. And therefore, he's not sure that there'll be Yerusha. So he seems to think, like the Netziv, not like the Sharidea, that there is a Dror Demona here, but he's not sure it's the sort of moment that can pass along be Yerusha. Maskana, he says it is, because he brings in the Malchusa, and the Fimashur Sadin, and other arguments, which is something we'll get to, we'll focus on more in a later week. But Mikra Din, he says that your right to Torah would be like Tavas Hana, like Truma. It is sort of a monetary right, but it's not out-and-out money, and therefore the rules of Yerusha might be somewhat different from the rules of Yerusha on regular tangible assets.
So this responsibility you have also might give you, takes away your monetary right also? That's what we're saying?
Responsibility to give it over to someone else. That seems to be, I don't have the text in front of me, that seems to be what he's saying, that the fact that I believe he might even bring Mani Bechino, I'm not sure. He might start out by assuming it's a Gedra of Tavas Hana.
Because of the two tshuvas, I don't think they really discussed the monetary benefits of it. They were just discussing about, do I have the right to have it not published or something like that.
So the Netziv was talking about having it not published.
The other one was talking about, does the Bechor get Pishnayim or something like that?
Right, the Bechor get Pishnayim. The Zerush tshuva was discussing the question of monetary right. The question was, I think he has both. Do they inherit the ksavim according to the laws of Yerusha, and do they get pishnayim from the revenues? And he basically suggests not because of I think so. I have to recheck the text. One raya some other posts can discuss is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Goy she'osek b'tara chayav misa." Shenemar, Torah Tivolanu Moshe Marasha, Lanu Marasha V'lolahem. Torah is a Marasha, an inheritance for us, not for them. Therefore, if they learn it, they're Chayav Misa. So the Mara asks, Lachshve Gabashem Mitzvah Bnei Noach. If this is a new mitzvah, let the Torah count it as number 8, another mitzvah. Mara says, it's already included in some other one. Which one? Mandar Marash Migzal Kagazala, Mandar Maras Adina Kanara Marasa, the Beskila. Mara actually has two different interpretations of the Drasha. One Drasha is Marasha, it's our inheritance and not theirs, then it's a form of Gzela. Gzela already is one of the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The other Drasha is Marasha, like Marasa, like Anara HaMarasa, which is a form of adultery, so it's a form of Harayas, which is also one of the Zion mitzvahs. So several Akronim discussed the idea that according to the first tzad of the Gemara, that Marasha is a form of Gzela. So the Gemara is basically telling us that Torah is also property. Torah can be owned by, here the Torah is not talking about any specific Jew, it's talking about Torah as a whole, is the property of the Jewish nation as a whole, but some poskim have actually extended this and tried to suggest that individual Torah, or even any Chachma, as we'll discuss in a minute, can be the property of the individual who discovered that particular Chachma. This point was first made, we touched on this briefly, by the correspondent of the Amud Eish. That was the case of a fellow who had developed a book, Techniques for Tzvia, for dyeing or painting. And the guy stole the book and made a copy, and the question was whether he could keep the copy after giving back the book. So the Shoel, this Rabbi Shimon of Alfina, brought this Gemara in Sanhedrin and says, according to this reason of Marash of Lolahem, it's Gzela. Even though you're not taking anything away from him, he says, when the Goyim learned Torah, we don't lose any Torah. It's still Gzela. So to here, he says, even if he still has his knowledge, if you learn his knowledge without his permission, You're not machaser him. It's still a form of gzeila maybe. And he says, well, Maisi says it's ain't little mad god. This is an agadah, even though it's a shemesh bnei noach gemara, but it's an agadah to kind of drusha. It's hard to learn out. He says, and again, as I pointed out, there's a big jump from saying Torah as a whole belongs to the nation as a whole, than to say specific bits of Torah belong to specific people. And Bechlal, the Gemara is talking about Torah, doesn't say the Greeks own geometry or anything else. So it's not a slam dunk to get from the Gemara to this, but it's at least an idea, a model that he proposed. The Mudeish himself does not respond, as far as I saw in the Tshuva, to this particular analogy. But this was proposed by the correspondent of the Mudeish. This is also picked up by the Machne Chaim in a Tshuva we'll see later this week, unless anyone's done it already tonight. Machne Chaim, this week we're going to be focusing mostly on plagiarism and cheating and taking credit for things that aren't yours. Chachma, Torah, other Chachma. So the Machne Chaim tried to argue that he was dealing with the case of a notorious con man who had taken Torah from other Gedolim and had published it under his own name and took credit for it. So Machne Chaim actually argued that what he's doing wrong is a form of Zela. Based on this drasha of Marasha Kilas Yaakov, Lana Marasha V'lolahem, Machne Chaim tried to argue that he's a Gazlan, that what he's doing by taking credit for the Torah is a form of Gzela. Machne Chaim said, he brought the Gemara Sanhedrin, and he said, also, just like the Amud Eish's correspondent, Hagam Lo Chasr Lana Muma, we don't lose anything if the guy learns Torah. Afal Pikein, it's a Chemda Gnuza Nosin Lana Menashemayim, it's our Torah. Anyone who takes it is a Gazlan. And similarly, again, jumping from Torah as a whole to specific Torah, anyone who takes credit, he's not talking about, the Mudeish was talking about a case of, he wasn't taking credit for it, he was just using the valuable commercial information. Here, the issue was taking credit, which is, again, a very different issue from the Gemara. The Gemara's not talking about the guy taking credit for the Torah necessarily. So again, it's conceptually a very uncompelling jump. But he tried to say that it was a form of gzel. And that's what he laid at the door of this plagiarizer. Maram Shik, in another tshuva we'll see this week, Maram Shik rejects this din. Maram Shik felt strongly that there is no gzela. It doesn't mean he thought plagiarism was good. He definitely thought plagiarism is bad for other reasons. But he says gzela is not the right halakha category. And he argues basically on the rule that kol marav areach ein ba mishum gezel, gozel shofar v'takaba, you can't steal sound. He says if you steal a shofar, you're yotze because it's the sound that's the mitzvah, and ein b'kol mishum gazel. What about the Gemara Sanhedrin? He actually proposes that the Gemara Sanhedrin is d'loka hilchasa. The Gemara Sanhedrin, through that side, is going according to what side of the Gemara that there is. In Yerushalmi, if there is a kol, there is gazel on kol. We don't paskin like that. But basically, he argues strongly that there is no ownership of Torah. And again, he falls on the same side as the other poskim who have said you can't own Torah even without mani b'chinam. You can't own it because it's davar shein b'mamash. You can't own things which are intangible and are just call just voices. Just one very interesting place this comes up again is in the context of reading somebody's mail, Cherin Meir Gershom. There is an interesting tshuva of the Marchash. The Marchash says that if you read somebody's private correspondence, you're over Gezel Shal Shlomi Das. Similar point is made by the Maram Chaviv in the Sefer Kol Gadol. He brings the sugi we saw last week, the smad, the business about reading a sefer that's entrusted to your care. You're a shaleach yad. If you read his sefer without permission, you're a shaleach yad. So the Marchash and the Maram Ibn Chaviv both say that reading somebody's book without permission, sefer, book, letter without permission, is gezel. The question is, what do they mean? Do they mean gezel on the shol shol midas, gezel on the physical paper or the book? Or do they mean the information, the ideas, the knowledge that you took without permission, that's the gezel? So there are a couple of tshuvas, a couple of psakim from the Batidin of the Rabbanut, published in the Piskei Din of the Rabbanut. Two of them dealing with very similar cases. A man was suing for divorce, and he wanted to bring information to the Beis Din that his wife deserved a get. In one case, he was accusing her of adultery. In the other case, I'm not sure what he was accusing her of. He wanted to introduce as evidence a recording that he had secretly and illegally made of her phone conversation. In the first case, he had recorded her talking to her friends, and apparently she had said things that indicated her guilt. He wanted to introduce this cassette recording to Beis Din as evidence. Her lawyer said, no, it's against the law, and Beis Din shouldn't accept it. So there are all kinds of interesting things going on in the discussion. Does Beis Din have such a rule about the about evidence illegally obtained shouldn't be admissible. Is there such a rule in Beis Din? Does Hanemeyer Gershom apply to listening to conversations rather than reading correspondence? Many interesting issues in the tshuva. One particular question is there an Indian of Gezel and Shol Shlomidas? So one of the psakim written by Rav Avram Sherman brings the Marchash and says yes. Just like the Marchash said that reading somebody's letter is a form of gazlan of Shol Shlomidas, recording his conversation is also a form of gezel and Shol Shlomidas. He obviously understood it was the information, not the physical paper, because there is no paper. You just put a bug on the phone. Another psak of another Beis Din on another case is not so sure. They say that, you know, who said on information, is there such a thing as gezel? Marchash was talking about a paper. So it's talking not so clear, but there is a tzad, at least in this context too, a very different context, not Torah, but private, secret conversations. There is a possibility that the information itself is subject to gzela, again, and the other, one of the objections is, again, like the Maram Shik says, kol marav erech, ein b'mishem gezel. Not so posh that there should be, but there is a tzad, again, that information itself, in a very different context, can be owned, and people who illicitly acquire it are over gezel or shol shlomidas.